Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the 30 to Life podcast, Redefining the Black Experience, where we break stereotypes, build legacies, and help others along the way. Today, we got a guest that's been on the episode before, where we talked about Black Wall Street, why the black vote and the black dollar matters. We have Malcolm back on the episode, and we're going to be talking about how to start a business, the reasons why you start a business, and ways to make money outside of a W-2. So before we get any further, Brown.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Nothing. I'm just looking at the rhetoric. You know, I follow people on Fox, follow people on CNN, you know, and, you know, the stories are just so polar. So I was curious. So Malcolm, you know, how is the atmosphere in Delaware? What's going on?
It's cracking down here. I'm not natively from Delaware, but I've been in Delaware for the past 9 years. So Joe Biden, his foundation is here in Delaware. As he was vice president, he was, you know, a resident of Delaware. His whole family's down here. Man, Delaware is cracking right now. You know, out of all the 50 states that voted for Joe Biden, Delaware was one of the first states to go 100% blue. And Delaware's been a blue state for quite some time. With Joe Biden being the homeboy from Delaware, that's just, you know, it puts Delaware on the map, number one. And number two, in terms of a political and entrepreneurship sense, he's going to bring a lot of money to the state. A lot of people who has already been in position with him prior to the election are going to be elevated. You know, it just gives a lot of opportunity for people in Delaware, people who are even around Delaware, or people who have relationships with people in Delaware. It's just been lit ever since they announced him winning. So, you know, Joe Biden winning is good for the state. I don't know about anybody else, but here in Delaware, it's real good. It's good money.
So, safe to say that you voted for Biden?
Yeah, absolutely. 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 I mean, you know, even with, for me, it was a power play. Because how I feel about politics and, you know, white men governing black bodies, I'm just not in agreement with that. I feel like, you know, black people we're strong enough to hold our own, especially with the $1.4 trillion buying power. If we could shift our minds from consumer to owner, you know, it's a beautiful thing. But, you know, in terms of the political play and the business play, I absolutely voted for Joe Biden. I absolutely advocated for him. Why? Because it's not going to do nothing but make the people who are myself, I've been in the mix for quite some time, being down there, and the people who are around me that I have good relationships with, they're going to elevate. So, yeah, it was absolutely a power play. It was the right move for me. We're in position to, you know, communicate directly to him. So, you know, we're really in position to hold his feet to the fire in terms of black people, black economics, and, you know, the empowerment of black people. So
last time you were on the episode, we talked about rebuilding Black Wall Street and we talked about the mm-hmm. black dollar. Do you honestly believe that Joe Biden is going to help improve the black economy and, you know, black businesses?
No. But I think that what's going to happen is that what he's going to do is, and I even kind of feel like this with President Obama, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but he's going to do things that help the overall people, right? And as he's helping the overall people in terms of, you know, stimulating the economy, healthcare, you know, what have you, I think that we need to be in a position to take advantage of the things that he's going to do for the overall people. I think what happens is that we need to be in position. We need to do for self. Black people need to do for self. We can't be relying on government that's not meant for us. We can't be relying on politics that's not meant for us. Right. We have to rely and do for self. But that also means that we need to be in a position to understand, you know, what type of governmental monies is out there for us so that we can take advantage of it. And I think that, you know, as Joe Biden does for people, we just have to be in a position to take advantage of what he's doing for people. It's not, you know, but I don't think directly for black people. I mean, he has a plan, but I don't know if that plan is really going to be executed. Time will tell.
So when you say power play, you mean that you voted because you felt as if Biden was in office or gets in office, it'll be more of a economic incentive for you.
I don't want to necessarily say incentive. That might not necessarily be the right word. It would just, or that could be the right word, right? But yeah, it was absolutely a power play. Like, as I said, I advocated for him because I know what it would do for my business and for the people around me if he was in position to be the president. And now he is the president-elect. So, you know, I just know that's just going to bring so much attention and financial backing to Delaware, because even before he was the president, right? When you think about Delaware is a tax-free state. And not only is it a tax-free state, if you're incorporating here, which 2/3 of the world's Fortune 500 companies are incorporated here in Delaware, right? There's so many tax loopholes just from being incorporated here in Delaware. So, you know, in terms of business, yeah, it just made sense, you know, it just made sense for me to do that.
No, I just think that's important for other people to hear, because, you know, so many of us just vote Democrat just because we are accustomed to it due to our family voting Democrat. And I just feel like if we just shift our mindset as a culture and focus on the party that's going to give us what we need, not focusing on our emotions when it comes to being racist. Because if you think about it, we said on the show that both parties are racist. I mean, both parties have a historical racist past. So having said that, and if we accept that as a people and understand the games that are being played, then yes, power moves is what we need to do.
100%, 100%, bro. Like, Democrats, Republicans, it doesn't matter. It's two heads of the same snake. We actually had a candidate that we were, he didn't win, but we shook up the state. You know what I mean? So myself and my business partner, Newly Felton, and we had a candidate that was running for, city council in the 5th district here in Wilmington. He ran as an independent. So what is so interesting, because, you know, as we were out there on election day, in the polls and whatnot, you know, we actually had Black people talking about, yo, vote straight Democratic ticket. That's miseducation and misinformation. Why? Because I might be a Black person and I might not necessarily know about these Democrats. And no, I'm not trying to throw shade. That's not what this is. That's not what this is, right? But you want me to vote straight ticket? Well, these Democrats, be they Black or white, might not have my best interest in mind, but you want me to vote straight ticket because we're conditioned to vote straight ticket, and you're playing on the psychology that Democrats are for Black people. No, that's definitely not the right way to go about it. We as a people, especially in terms of business, because these people, not only do they make the decision on a local level, not only do they make decisions that affect the state and affect us on a federal level, but they affect us every day on a business level. So if they don't have your best interest in mind, you do not need to vote for them. I don't care if it's Democratic. I don't care if it's Republican. I don't care what party they are. If they have your best interest at hand, that's who you vote for. I think we need to kind of start to shift this two-party political stance, Democrat and Republican. I know that's another conversation for another day, but you know, we kind of need to kind of shift away from just Democrat, just Republican, because there are good people out there, Republican and Democrat, and you know, we just need to be educated about the decisions that we're making.
Yeah, I love that point. It's so important that we're educated and we're informed and we make the best decision for ourselves and our surrounding community. So I love that. I love that you didn't say, you know, I'm voting because I hate the other person, or I'm voting because, you know, this is what I'm accustomed to. So we definitely need our people to know why they're voting, know what their politicians stand for, and make sure we hold them accountable. Is so important. So, you know, one thing that I'm looking forward to in 2021 is everyone who voted for Biden, specifically Black people, specifically Black women and Black men, how are they going to hold him accountable to make sure, you know, after COVID-19, after he solves that and that's improved and better for America, his next agenda or solution should be for the Black community, because we helped get him not only as the nominee, but we got him elected. It's so important that we do that. And I don't want it to be diluted when it comes to minority and people of color. But I want to transition to really the reason why you're here. So one of the things when I was researching, you know, this about 6 million businesses with employees, and only 2.2% of those are Black owned. And, you know, that's really startling to me when we're, you know, we're over 13% of the population, and, you know, we're not moving the needle with that. So for this episode, like,
of that 2.2%, 40% of the businesses went out of business and they're not going to open back up due to COVID. Just want to make that point.
No, that's why we brought you on here, because it's so important that, you know, we start a business. It's so important that we understand how to start a business, the reasons why we should start a business. And one thing I always say is that your children can't inherit your W-2 job, but they can inherit a business. So tell us a little bit more about, tell us about your story in terms of like the businesses that you started, and talk about, you know, the pros and cons to a W-2 job versus 1099 or being self-employed.
I think you just said it right. You can't build a legacy off of hourly wage, right? So if you're a W-2 employee, of course, in turn, if you're just getting started in life, you know what I mean? You just graduated from college or whatever, what have you, you know, you want to kind of get your chops. I get it. But there's too many opportunities right now, and knowledge is at abundance. Whereas, you know, you can, you know, find a mentor, you know, you can be a part of some type of an organization. You can Google stuff. You can YouTube things. You know what I mean? We just live in the age of information, right? And whereas there's so much arbitrage in the system that you could profit off of right now, literally right now, like right now. If you have a gift, if you have a talent, if you have a niche, you could profit off of that if you know how to engage with your people via the internet and, you know, via social media platforms. But me personally, shout out to my boy Prime Time, because my very first job was a job out of college, was a job that Prime Time got me up at Merck. But, you know, even, you know, fast forward maybe about 4 years after that, I had a couple of situations, whereas I started to realize and I started to get woke, and I was just like, yo, this 9-to-5 thing is really not going to do what I needed to do. Especially in terms of, you know, you have institutionalized racism, which is a real thing. And it's not even just from, you know, the corporations that you're working for, but it's within the culture and the people of these corporations that you work for, be it white, Hispanic. You know, it comes from everybody who's not Black, right? Or even it may come from people who are Black who just want to be a part of the corporate system and don't see anything outside of that, right? But I think what happened is just that I went through a couple, actually, I got fired. I got fired from a job off of some BS in terms of, you know, it was a lot of, like I said, institutionalized racism. And, you know, the system that I was a part of just would not work for me. So at that moment when I got, this was 2012 where I got fired from the job. But at that moment, y'all see, I have locks. I decided to create a page that focused on people who had locks, because, you know, some little switch had flicked inside of me. And I was just like, hey, I like locks and I like social media. So let me combine the two. And hence the reason is, you know, I created that one initial business, which literally led me to be here to be talking to you guys right now.
So let's take it back to that moment when you realized that a 9-to-5 wasn't for you. You know, that's a huge leap. You know, how did you talk yourself into that?
For me, I don't know if it was necessarily a talk into, it was more so of, and I'm glad I was forced into it, right? I feel like I was, I don't want to say forced, that might not be the right word, but there was nothing else for me. And I'm gonna be very transparent with you guys while I'm talking for these few moments. Even I had got fired from that job, but I started working at Apple. I worked for Apple for 3 years. I actually got fired from Apple, and I got in trouble actually. But because I got in trouble, it forced me to jump into entrepreneurship. And you know, the mindset that you need in order to, it takes a lot to jump into entrepreneurship. And it's really all up here, right? I can't say that it's anything else that can, it could be a situation, it could be your environment, it could be, you know, you just want for more, but it really starts all the way. It's 100% up here because people live in fear. People live in fear of the what ifs, right? Or they live in fear of the unknown. And because of that fear, or they live in fear of losing some type of security, right? From their cushy 9-to-5 or, you know, whatever type of job that they have. Really, it's a mindset and living in some type of fear, right? When you are in a position where you live outside of the realm of fear and you grow that mindset from living outside of the realm of fear, that's when you could jump into entrepreneurship, where you're like, oh, you know, you don't care about necessarily, oh, I don't care how much money I make and I don't care what I got to go through, but I have this goal and I'm going to get to that goal. And you lose fear and you have that mindset, you will make shit happen. I don't care who it is. I don't care what it is that you do. You will make it happen if you lose that notion of fear and you create and develop that mindset. I don't really see create or develop that mindset. If you just have that little switch, like I said, you just that switch little flicks, you're going to do it. That's what happened for me. That's how it happened for me.
You know, one thing I always say, like when it comes to fear, I say it out loud or I tell people about it, like fear is false evidence appearing real. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the mind can trick us to thinking something is when it isn't. So it's so important that, you know, we are self-aware in terms of, one, other people put their own limitations on you. And then two, sometimes based off that, you know, you make that a part of your life where it's always like this invisible barrier that's not really there. And sometimes we tie it to institutional racism, but sometimes it's just us placing our own limits on ourselves, and the sky is the limit, in my opinion. You talked about businesses, but how do you find the business to start? Like, what are some ways that you can find a business that works within your own talents?
When I had this conversation with people, I go all the way to the foundational level, right? I literally talk about, yo, what do you like? Right? Like literally, what do you like? I stay literally right there in that realm. Like, what do you like to do? Or people, even now, let's just say you did work a 9-to-5 for 10 years, right? Even if you didn't like it, even if you hated it, let's just say you were an accountant for 10 years, right? And you got really good at being an accountant. Well, don't necessarily push that skill to the side, right? So it's two different things, right? If you have a skill, it might be three things. If you have a skill, utilize that skill to push you into entrepreneurship initially, build off of that skill, and then let it blossom and flourish from there. And then if you have something that you're passionate about, something that you love to do, that, and I know it sounds cliche, but it's 100% real. Like for me personally, I'm so into locks. I'm into natural hair. I'm into social media marketing and, how to create engagement on these platforms. And I'm into gaming. So the things that I'm into, I literally started a business around. So I have a marketing company. I have a gaming company. Why? Because I love playing video games. I like playing video games. I like anime. All that's all in the same arena. So I literally started a business based off of what I like. And when I had this conversation with people, that's where I start. What do you like? If that's the thing that you like, do that thing that you like and do that thing that you're passionate about. And that is your business. And trust me, everything will literally blossom and flourish from there. I know it sounds cliche, but that's really what it is.
All right. So you know something that you like, you know, you found that something. So there's something else that you kind of need to keep that dream and to allow it to come into fruition, right? Like there's something else that you need. For instance, like, you know, I'm thinking about authors that have a story and you have all of these thoughts coming in your head and a lot of them are convoluted. And then once you've organized them in a way, now it's time to produce it. But to me, that's the hard part. It's the actual producing of the final product. How did you maintain your tenacity through it all? Like that's... Is it because you just had no choice? You were coming, you were back to the corner and you were like, no, fuck this. I got to figure this shit out. Or like that, it takes a lot of tenacity, right? Determination.
Yo, for real rap, it was a combination. It was a combination of, fuck this. I ain't got nothing. I got to make this shit happen, right? But outside of the fuck this, I got to make this shit happen is I actually really like connect. I like connecting with people. I like to build relationships, right? And you know, because you do have a lot of moments where it's just like, yo, is this shit really for me? Is this something that I really want to do? But you know, as you make the connections and as you make the build the relationships and as you bring value to the people who are coming to you for your services, you know, those are the real wins. For instance, I just had a young lady call me yesterday and she called me crying, literally called me crying and was like, Malcolm, man, I was in one position in January and now I'm in a completely different situation 11 months later, you know, financially and happiness wise. Right. You know, So for me, it was definitely a whole bunch of, yo, I got to make this shit happen. Cause if I don't, you know, I'm going to be out here homeless, not knowing how to eat. But at the same time, you know, there was a lot of a whole bunch of stuff. And for real, that right there really made my mind shift even more. It made me even more passionate about this entrepreneur thing. And plus, you know, as you get further and further in your entrepreneurship journey, you learn and you start to wake up a little bit more where it's just like, yo, this world ain't what we were conditioned to see it as, right? So the more that you wake up and the more that you unlearn to relearn, the more you get passionate about, you know, doing this entrepreneurship thing, the more that you get passionate about, you know, working for self, the more that you get passionate about wanting to pass your legacy down to your kids. Like, yeah, man, it's just, you know, it's really at the end of the day, it's a mindset thing. I know that sounds cliche, but that's really what it is, yo.
Yeah, I definitely agree with those points. So, you know, just kind of start from like a journey. So I'm a person who's employed right now. I'm interested in starting a business. So first step, figure out what I like. Second step, you need a inner drive. You need something in terms of tenacity, determination, persistence. You need those natural abilities. But what's the next step from there? Once you know what you like and you have the will or the drive to do it, what's the next step from there?
So what I always recommend to whoever we talk, you know, you talked about that execution is difficult, right? But there are ways where, you know, that execution isn't as crazy as it may seem, right? You know how they say, how do you eat an elephant? You start with the first bite or some shit like that. And in my mind, that first bite is writing down your goals. So, and not just, let me see if I could take my, I got a virtual screen on right now. Let me see if I could take it off so y'all could see my background real quick. Hold on. Okay, so if y'all could, can y'all see my background? So right now, I literally just erased my whiteboard like 2 days ago. I just erased my whiteboard like 2 days ago. But I write everything down. I literally write everything down, dog. Like right now it's blank, but the other day it was 100% full. I only erased it because I achieved majority of the goals that I had written down on my whiteboard. So number one, first and foremost, that first bite is to write thing down. And it don't have to be on a whiteboard like how it is on mine, but write it down like, and work backwards, right? When you write things down, work backwards. So what's your big overarching goal? Like for me, I want to make $1 million freaking dollars, right? So I wrote at the top $1 million, right? But then what I did was I literally made a plan working backwards to where I am now, where it's like, all right, in order for me to make this amount of money, this amount of money every single day, every single hour, I need to do this, 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 and this. And it's literally not even just like a financial thing, right? It's, yo, I get up in the morning every day in my mind. I get up every day, I make my bed. I get up every day and I make my bed. It's like little small things that keep me disciplined. It's little small things that keep me disciplined every single day. But first and foremost, write everything down. If you don't have a plan to get to that big overarching goal, then you're going to be all over the place and it's just not going to work out.
So strategize. You need to
strategize 100% strategy. Write that shit down. Do your research as you write things down, because people just go willy-nilly and jump into a business when they don't know nothing about running a business. Well, there's a whole bunch of information out here. Like, you got Google, you got YouTube. There's a bunch of people who will give you the help. or you could pay for the help. Like, there's people out here who will help you to understand after you write down your goals and create some sort of a plan. You know, you could go to people to figure out what your next steps is in terms of, you know, creating an EIN, getting a business license. I guess that might be next. Let me stop.
Yeah, we can go into that, actually. Yeah, so like,
let me just add a couple color to it, because I loved everything that you said. It's so important that we write down, you know, our goals, because so many people have dreams, so many people have ideas, but they never write it down. It's like, oh, I thought of that, but did you write it down?
Right.
Right. So right. I always say, like, if you have a dream, it won't become a goal until you write it down. And then the next step is, if once you have a goal, if you break it down into steps, it becomes a plan. And then once you have a plan and you back that with action, it becomes a reality. Mm-hmm. So it's so important that you take the right steps so that your goal, right, becomes a reality. And the bridge between those is action.
But it's the same shit. But you know what's funny? It's the same shit. Like, yo, when people go to college, it's the same shit. All right, you want to get a degree in,
business, chemistry,
biology,
liberal arts, history.
Yo, they scammed us, yo. They scammed us.
Yo, the flim flam for real, bro. That's a whole nother conversation. But let's say, for instance, right? You know, when you meet with your, it's the same difference, right? When you go meet with your guidance counselor, right? And they're like, yo, maybe you should go, what do you want to do? What type of major you want to do? What you want to do with your life, right? They're like, hey, you need to go to this school, that school, that school, this school, because they got your major that will get you to that, you know, particular degree to help you get to your life goals, right? It's the same exact difference, right? Where you know, when you want to start a business, like, you do, it's the same steps. Like, either you can meet with somebody, or you can, you know, write those things down, or you know, you create an action plan in order to get to that point where you get your, you know, you get where it is that you want to get to. It's the same. It's the same fucking difference. Like, same difference. College is a scam. 100%. 1000%.
College is a business.
This is true. But I still feel like, even though it's a business, I feel like it's a scam.
I mean, haven't you bought something that you regretted later? It's just this one is very expensive.
That shit is way too expensive. You know, it's fucked up too. Joe Biden talking about he want to erase college debt. And I went to a private school. He's erasing debt for everybody except for motherfuckers who went to a private school. And I went to a private school.
He ain't erasing no debt.
Nah, he's not. It's not happening.
He said that shit. The country needs that. Because niggas is gullible out here.
Man, you said it in the beginning, Malcolm. Do for self. Because it ain't happening. Ain't happening. Forever. Yes. So I want to continue the conversation with the business, right? So we have a business plan. We talked a little bit about business plan. We talked about steps. We talked about tenacity. We talked about finding what you love, what you like. So what's the next steps from there? Like, how do you get it off the ground?
So getting it off the ground, like, it could, that could be a multitude of things, right? So when you talk about getting it off the ground,
We're making it legitimate and then getting it off the ground.
Okay, so all right, good. So making it legitimate, right? So you want to go ahead and, so getting an EIN, right? Your EIN is what's called your tax identification number. Your tax identification number is kind of like your business social security number, right? So you could go to irs.gov and you can get a EIN like that. It takes you 10 minutes. You can get an EIN, don't matter where you're at in the world. You can go to irs.gov. You can get an EIN like
that. How much is it though?
EIN free.
Wait. So I don't have to pay anything to start a business to get that.
Zero.
Really?
Zero. Well, at least to get the EIN. If to get your EIN, it's zero free. And once you get your EIN, you could start rocking from there. You get your EIN, you start rocking out from there. But you know, if you wanted to go and move further, right? Now down here in Delaware, to get your LLC, there's four different types of incorporations you could get in terms of business. There's a sole proprietorship, There's an LLC, which is limited liability corporation. There's S Corp and there's C Corp. So S Corp, C Corp, everything is different. It's all because of taxes. That's really the only difference between each of the four different areas that you could be incorporated by. Majority of companies, especially specifically small businesses, are either sole proprietors or the LLCs. I suggest that you become an LLC first, or you could be a nonprofit. You could be a nonprofit, but you have to be actually, in order to be a nonprofit, you have to be an LLC first, and then you turn into a nonprofit after you get your LLC. Now, the LLC is what a lot of small businesses are. So down here in Delaware, you could pay between, you know, $250 to $350 in order to get an LLC. S-Corp, C-Corps, they're a little bit more expensive. Sole proprietorships, maybe. Sole proprietorships pull from your social security number. So I don't have any sole proprietorships. LLCs are good because they don't touch you. It's kind of like a shell, and it protects you. So if something fucks up with your LLC, it don't touch none of your personal. LLC, S-Corp, C-Corp, they don't touch none of your personal assets. You know, that's why Donald Trump went bankrupt so many times. He still got money. Same thing with 50 Cent. So you get an LLC, and then after that, yo, it's go time, rocking and rolling. You get a Dun & Bradstreet number helps you to, it's kind of like your business credit. Your Dun & Bradstreet number tells other companies that you are in good tax or good credit. You have good credit in terms of your business. You know, that's one thing that you could do. So, you know, but for real, once you get your business license in your end, I will start to build a digital presence. That's like numero uno, especially if you, but first, even before that, what's your product? What's your service? What are you actually going to do in order for you to have a EIN or a business license or what have you? Make sure you figure that out. Do your market research. Get your information. You could do all of this shit at the same time and then immediately build your digital presence. That will be the very next step.
One business is enough. How do you manage multiple businesses and still find time for your sanity?
You don't. I feel like I'm at the point in my life where, luckily for me, all of my businesses are integrated into one another. So I do marketing is like my main business, and I do that for each of my other businesses. I do a little bit extra in my roles and responsibilities kind of shifted for each one. The people don't even know what fucking businesses I got. So my one business, the main one that I started after I got fired from a job back in 2012 was Lock Nation. That's a support and celebration of the natural hair movement with a focus on locks. So that was all the way back in 2012. Then we started, me and my guy Nudy, we started Influencers Lab Media, which is a full service marketing company. And then, you know, earlier this year, 2020, prior to COVID, we started Futures First Gaming, which is it's a STEM accredited gaming company. We focus on esports and, you know, gaming competitions. And we're STEM certified, and we teach black and brown kids how to make this bread off of esports and show them STEM opportunities. So those are my businesses. But as I said, marketing is like my main business, and that's what I do for the rest of my businesses. So for me personally, it's easy for me to just, you know, market all the rest of my business. Now, like I said, some of my roles and responsibilities for each one, vary, but it's not crazy enough where I'm like, oh shoot. Actually, the last like 2 months has kind of gotten like that. So I had to hire an assistant. But for the most part, it hasn't been nothing that I can't handle because it's all kind of like integrated underneath of what I do in terms of marketing. But for somebody who, you know, might not be in the space that I'm in, you know, that balance is a real thing. And that work-life balance is a real thing. And if you don't figure that shit out from the rip, it's going to be really difficult trying to figure that shit out when you're knee deep into what it is that you're doing and you're trying to pay your bills, you're trying to take care of your kids or what have you. That work-life balance is very difficult. And even if you're not an entrepreneur, I'm sure you probably struggle with your work-life balance. You being a nurse, and you know, you probably struggle with that. So, you know, that work-life balance is a real, real, real thing. You know, once you find your happy medium, stay in that lane, because once one thing shifts more than the other, it fucks you up.
Yeah. One thing that you mentioned was going digital, and a lot of Black businesses have a problem in terms of growing their capital, have a problem with getting business loans. So even now with COVID happening earlier this year, like why is it so important to go digital, and is that a better way to start a business?
Going digital, that's almost in my world, that's almost a deal breaker. If you're not digital right now, you fucking lost. When you think about it, and I don't want to like go way deep into it, but it's 3 billion people on fucking Facebook. It's 1 billion people on Instagram. Why wouldn't you be everybody and their mom? If I leave my phone anywhere, I'm doubling back. I don't give a fuck what I got going on. I don't care what's going on. I'm doubling back to go get my phone, right? So that should let that should let anybody know how important this little screen is. And especially with COVID literally exposed us to the great digital divide. Whereas like, for instance, I'll give you guys an example, and this is real live shit, like right now, right? We have a group on Facebook. We just changed the name to it. It's called Spending Black Matters. Prior, it was Black Dollars Matter prior to. Right now, we have 25,000 people in that group, right? 90% of the people in that group don't have a website. 90% of the people in that group don't even know that a Facebook shop exists or an Instagram shop exists, and that you can check out right from Facebook and Instagram, and you can make money right from the platform that has the most people in the world on it outside of Google, right? Why wouldn't you put yourself in a space to monetize that? Like, especially now that everybody's going, brick and mortars are dying. Even prior to COVID, brick and mortars were dying because of the internet. Why wouldn't you put yourself in a position to understand that and to really build your business on something digital? Digital first, offline second. That's how I feel about it now. Digital first, offline second. Why? Because that's where everybody at. That's where the attention at. Attention, people think money is the biggest currency. No, attention is the biggest currency. So the more that you can get people in a position and put them in your ecosystem and capture their attention, the more money you can make, the more you can scale up. And everybody's on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Twitter. So meet the people where they at.
Agreed. Yeah, there's so many businesses that you can start, you know, for under $1,000, under $2,000. And, you know, when it's hard to get a loan, when it's hard to, you know, just get funding, you know, it's so smart to go online and like just create your own, you know, digital presence, your digital brand. And these companies really set things up to do it all for you, right? You got Shopify, you got Facebook Marketplace, you got all these different places where, you know, you can, Etsy is a big one. Amazon, you know, the reselling
Amazon fucked the world up, bro. Like nobody right now, the only place that I could see competing with Amazon right now on a global scale is maybe Alibaba, maybe Walmart not fucking with Amazon, Target not fucking with Amazon. Amazon fucked everything up, bro. Like I can go get my toilet paper from Amazon, dog, and I don't gotta leave my crib. That's a game changer, dog.
It's so true, though.
And then what's even crazier, right? I could be like, yo, Alexa, order me toilet paper, and that shit would come to your door. That's how crazy it is with Amazon right now. Like, Alexa, order toilet paper, and Alexa, know what brand. And that's why digital shit is so important, because all of the newer devices like Alexa, and I think it's like a Google device that's out right now.
And Apple.
Wait, Alexa is Google. Alexa is Google, right?
No.
Alexa is Amazon, right? Yep. Alexa is Amazon. Google got something.
Google Home.
Yeah, Google Home. And then Apple got like the HomePod or something. But literally, yeah. I could be in the bathroom brushing my teeth and be like, yo, Alexa, order me toothpaste and toilet paper and paper towels. Alexa know what brand you want. And they know your credit card information. They know your geography. Like, what? And that's all digital. Like, there's no brick and mortar that can facilitate that type of shit. It's all digital. 100%. That's a good.
When they get those drones,
The drones is already here.
They're not using it to the capacity that they portrayed it to be yet.
Yeah, not yet. But it's going to, look, with COVID, they expediting all of that stuff, man. Like, I'm telling people every single day, like, yo, be prepared. I don't know what kind of business you got, or, you know, if you working or whatever, like, be prepared to shift everything digital, because for right now, that's what it is, and that's what it's going to be for the rest of forever. You know, even if COVID is not going nowhere forever, it's not going nowhere. We're just going to have to learn how to deal with it. But yeah, digital everything, dog. Like, that's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy to me that businesses don't have a Facebook page or don't have an Instagram page. Like, what? Leaving money on the table because you don't have these platforms.
So besides funding, right, and what do you think is one of the reasons why there's only 2.2% of businesses that black-owned businesses out of the 6 million? What do you think the rationale for it? Is it lack of knowledge? Or like, what is the reason?
Fear and conditioning. Like, I don't even say it's a lack of knowledge, because so we know it's hard. We know it's difficult to get funding, right? It's not even just difficult to get funding for a business, but think about the disparities where it comes to home ownership, right? Black people have a more difficult time getting money lent to them, right? Even before this age of entrepreneurship, right? But there, yo, for real, Mufi, like, there is no excuse as to why people cannot start a business. Because why? Because of Google, because of YouTube, bro. I can go to YouTube, and I'm not trying to minimize it, not at all. I'm not trying to minimize it, but yo, bro, I can literally open up my phone. Everybody in their mom got a smartphone. I don't care if it's Android. I don't care if it's Apple. Everybody in their mom got a smartphone, or they got some type of, they have access to the internet. Everybody got access to the internet, right?
But you know what? I get into this with everybody, though. Like, they say, because I have that same argument. I say you can literally teach yourself whatever the fuck you want to teach yourself right now.
Yes.
However, I still get people to say, not everybody's like you. Not everybody has that ability.
No, that shit can't go no more, bro. I just made a post today where I was talking about, like, yo, it comes to a point in one's life, especially black people. We could post every other thing, but we can't teach ourselves about finances or businesses or, you know, just knowledge about self, our history. Like, no,
you're but not what about tell the me. What about the guy who grew up in the projects? In the projects, didn't get an education. Like, what about him?
He probably trapping off his iPhone, cuz. He probably trapping right now. He probably making a trap right now off his iPhone, dog. But you mean to tell me you can't go to Google to figure out how to build a fucking business? Not even just build a fucking business. I don't want to go that. Just to educate yourself on some type of subject that can get you to that point. You know what I mean? Like, nah, dog. There's no more excuses. Like, no more excuses. Like, we got to hold ourselves accountable. Like, that's...
I agree with you, but...
You know what I really think it is? You know, and just, you know, keeping it real, I think it's the conditioning that we have on our community for low expectations. Like,
when you say, what are those low expectations? Like, even motherfuckers with low expectations still got Google.
But what I'm saying is, like, when people like Brown give the example, someone said, everyone's not like you, right? Everyone's not like you to Google and do the work that's required to be successful, right? That's having, I would say, low expectations of yourself. And I think we got to rise the standards, right? And when I think about 30 to life, right, we want to break stereotypes. Like, we are, you know, like you mentioned earlier about the voting, you had a rationale why you voted for Biden. Like, you can ask a lot of people that question and they will not have a rational reason for it, right? Or to Brown's point, they say everyone's not like you. How hard is it to do these activities? So I think expectations.
Motherfuckers talk about generational curses all the time, right? But as the more that I dig deeper into generational curses, bro, generational curses are so much deeper than just anything financial, right? Like, of course we have generational curses that are like on a financial level, whereas it's like, oh, well, my grandmom didn't know about financial literacy, so those same habits were passed down to my mom and blah, 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 blah. But I think that the financial generational curses are
ingrained in us.
No, something that could be fixed.
I'm not saying it can be fixed, but it's other generational curses. I can't think of the word right now, but it's other generational curses that make other generational curses that much worse. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, they contribute. They contribute to it. They contribute to your
problem. So the mental trauma that we have is passed on. Yes. Absolutely, 100%.
We pass on mental generational curses, emotional generational curses. You know what I mean? It's so much shit. For instance, I don't know if y'all see when I posted on Facebook the other day, and this might not be for everybody, but this is for a lot of people, and we don't even talk about it, and that can indirectly lead to financial generational curses, right? So I was talking about how we always put our grandparents' relationships on a pedestal. But yo, listen, there was a lot of grandparents out there that have fucked up relationships and they just don't even talk about it. Like my exact status was talking about how, yo, your grandpa had kids outside of the marriage.
Oh yeah, they didn't talk. They didn't tell us nothing. They kept all that dirt, and then they made it seem like they was perfect. Yep.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm just like, yo, why is motherfuckers out here putting your grandparents' relationship on a pedal where, like I said, yo, your auntie really ain't your auntie, but your grandma took care of her because she didn't want to say shit about your grandpa stepping out back in 1970. Like, yo, come on. And that shit right there, shit like that that we don't talk about, and those generational curses have an exponential effect on the financial shit. Why? If your grandpa wouldn't have stepped the fuck out, he wouldn't be paying for all this extra shit because he stepped the fuck out. I don't fucking know, but I know it always have an indirect effect on other shit. Like, it's just so many shit that when it comes to, like, man, I get passionate about this. I'm so passionate about this. Because I love my people. I love my people. I love Black people. I love my people, and I want to see us win. But when I actually think about what it takes for us to really be in a position to win or to really have true ownership, like, I want us to own the color blue, right? But we'll never own the fucking color blue because motherfuckers can't even keep their fucking dick in their pants, right? Like, or they can't even really understand why you should be owning. I mean, it's high level.
Pick up a book and read. Go on YouTube and learn something.
Read.
They got a crash course for everything.
They got a crash course for everything. Like, come on, bro. Like, it got to come a point where, yo, we put all this energy behind getting these white men elected into the office that don't even really give a fuck about us. We can't take that energy and put it into ourselves. Come on, yo. Come on. Come on.
Yep. It's true. That's true.
Mic drop. You can't deposit excuses. So, you know, let's change our family tree. Like, let's change our legacy. Let's take the steps needed to move forward. You know, starting a business digitally is low cost, low entry to barrier. And, you know, finding your passion, finding what you're good at, you know, researching, you know, the market, find other businesses that are doing what you're doing in other markets, and then try to do it in the market that you're in, right?
I agree.
Reach out to these people, read YouTube, Google, all these great things, and you can really take advantage of this. And I think a good advice is, you know, use your W-2 job to fund your business, right?
I agree.
Like you don't have to just go cold turkey and then start a business. Use your job, right? So when you go to work and if you don't like your job, you're like, hey, this job is only funding my business that I do after work, right? Or at lunchtime or whatever.
Right. Side hustles are no longer non-negotiable. Side hustles are non-negotiable. It's a good book. I'm glad. So Mookie, it's actually good that you said that, right? It's a book that I would recommend to the people. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon. And The Richest Man in Babylon talks about how, you know, the gentleman in Richest Man in Babylon was extremely disciplined, right? He was extremely disciplined. And initially in the story, he talks about how he worked and saved his money, but he took a certain percentage of his money. He saved it. He took a certain percentage of his money. He paid himself, right? That's one of the premises of the book. He paid himself, right? He took another percentage of his money. He paid all his bills, right? And then another percentage of his money he took and he saved. But the one percentage of the money that he took and he paid himself, he took that money and invested it into other small businesses. They wasn't big, huge entities, right? It was like a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, right? And that money that he invested, you know, every few months, it might have, you know, doubled, possibly tripled. But it wasn't a lot. It was just enough to, you know, get him overboard. And I think that's, you know, But he did that because he actually worked and he saved his money and he got to a point where he was able to do that. And I think it's always interesting when people say, like, oh, I need a lot of money in order to start your business. Like, no, you just need to be disciplined. You just need to be disciplined, save your bread and use it the right way. Like, that's that, and that as well is all, that's also a mind shift right there. Just being disciplined and using the money that you have, as opposed to thinking that you need a lump sum of money. So back to your point about financing, you could finance your goddamn self if you're disciplined and use your money the right way.
Yeah, I love that. And like what I hear is like it's long-term satisfaction instead of instant gratification. Like we live in a society where like we need everything right away. And it's so important that we're determined, that we're diligent and that we're patient. Right. Because businesses are like babies. It takes time to grow. So, you know, you have to work at it and love what you're doing. So, you know, I think this has been an amazing episode, Malcolm. I just thank you so much for joining us and talking about how to start a business. There's a lot of great points that you came with. Any last parting words for the people, like actionable things that they can do today?
Actionable things that you can do today. Build your digital presence. If you have a business right now, the country is about to shut down again. Like whether you do or don't believe in COVID, whether you do or don't like Joe Biden or Donald Trump, I do not care. The country is going to shut down again because of COVID. So please, if you're in a position to shift your business model to a online digital model, start shifting right now. Create content and post your content, build your brand on every single platform, especially the big three, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Actually it's almost a big four, almost a big five now because TikTok and LinkedIn are huge platforms where people are at. But anyway, they're going to shut down. It's going to come. I don't know exactly when, but it's going to happen. States are already shutting down. Please, if you have a business, shift your model to online as much as possible because it's going to be harsher and more stricter restrictions this next shutdown than it was before. So please shift right now.
I love that. A lot of business, as you mentioned, shut down and will never come back as a result of COVID and not, you know, switch into that digital presence or even preparing themselves for the worst case scenario with their business, which happens at times. So really appreciate that advice. Where can people find you? Where can people really get in touch with you if they have questions about starting a business marketing?
You can follow me everywhere. Malcolm Locks, MalColmLocs. It's the same name on every platform, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn is my name, Malcolm Coley, but Malcolm Locks, you can find, I have a, get my page on Facebook is a gaming page. So you can find me everywhere, Twitch, Malcolm Locks. You can find me everywhere, Malcolm Locks, MalColmLocs. I'm everywhere.
Thank you, Malcolm. And I just want to thank the listeners for tuning in to another episode of 30 to Life podcast. This episode is really how to start a business. And today is the day, right? Like no more pushing it off to tomorrow. Yesterday you said tomorrow. Today's the day. So move forward, get intentional, take action, and just, you know, change your family tree one step at a time. And if you have a goal, write it down. And when you write it down, put a deadline to it and make sure you do take the steps necessary to accomplish before that deadline comes. So with that, this is the 30 to Life podcast. And make sure that you subscribe, share this podcast with a friend. Don't be stingy. Give to the needy. People need to hear 30 to Life podcast. We out.